you're saying. All right. We're going to do something I don't normally do, and that is only deal with roughly half of a verse. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4. We'll read starting in verse 25 and 26, but our focus is going to be on the last sentence in 26. Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So we're starting off this monthly prayer meeting with a study on prayer. And it seemed fitting to begin with consideration of what the nature of prayer is. So, prayer is one of those duties in the Christian life, and it's, I think, oftentimes, it's both one of the most important and also one of the most neglected. And that can be for any number of reasons. And it's also one of those things where it's hard to see, like, tangible evidence as far as the value and the efficacy of prayer that can really be put into words and described in a helpful manner. However, when we are in a habit of prayer, then those benefits and blessings are readily apparent, even though we still can't find words to describe what they are. So I think sometimes, since this is the most seemingly the easiest of our Christian duties, it's also the most neglected, that one of the results is we end up neglecting it either out of a sense of fear or fear in the sense of maybe we question our own ability to pray or lacking confidence in how to pray. Sometimes it's simply a matter of there's a great deal of shame from not praying. So as we begin, we're going to start with reflecting on the nature of prayer, starting with the basics, as it were. So looking especially at Genesis 4:26b, that latter half, we're told that then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And let me start at the outset. There are generally three ways in which prayer is referenced in Scripture: either calling upon the Lord, crying out to the Lord, or with the word prayer. The use of the word prayer, I think, is the most easily recognized reference. But oftentimes when we read about someone crying out to the Lord or calling out to the Lord, that it means that they're praying. Now, I want to point you to the context in which this verse is found. So if we look back at the beginning of chapter 4, we have what I guess you could say the second sin or the second generation sinning. In Cain bringing an offering to the Lord with his brother Abel, Abel's offering being accepted, Cain's not being accepted, and in anger, Cain kind of deceitfully says, hey, let's go out to the field, and then he kills him. And then from there, we get the genealogy of Cain, right? And for all of the things that all of the good things that Cain's descendants did, like we're told that they were those who brought in like different metalworking and instruments, and they did a lot of good for society. But then the highlight and the crescendo of his line comes with Lamech right at the very end. And that is, he goes and takes what God had given, a particular promise made to Cain, that those who killed him would be avenged sevenfold. And then he, in a very unrighteous and godless manner, takes that upon himself as a way of saying, well, if Cain will be avenged, he's essentially saying, I will avenge myself even more than what Cain's vengeance would be. And so it's then, like, that's the whole backdrop. And what we don't see any sense that Cain's descendants had any inclination to call upon the Lord or any desire to be in his presence. Now we know that Cain was sent out, effectively excommunicated. But part of that goes to show that even the generations that followed, because Cain didn't value the Lord himself, neither did his descendants. And so then it's only after this is highlighted, and it's only with the what we sometimes call the godly line, where prayer is introduced at the end of chapter 4. Now, it's also interesting that we're told Seth is born to Adam and Eve, and then after Seth, he has a son. Well, we don't know how old Seth was. Or we could probably look ahead. Anyway. Verse 6 of chapter 5. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. So think about that right there. It wasn't that right away Adam and his descendants called upon the Lord. That's not what we're told. We're told that it's after the birth of Enosh that men began to call on the Lord. If your Bible has men in italics, it's because it's been added. It's not in the Hebrew, but it's necessary for English. We should understand that in the universal sense of mankind. If we want to make it more contextual, then it should probably read, they began, then they began to call on the name of the Lord. But again, it's speaking to this particular godly line. All right. Now, when it comes to, we're considering the nature of prayer, right? So just as a reminder, because nature is one of those words that we use in a variety of ways, and there's a particular way in which it's being used in this context. So when we say nature, what we mean is the inherent character or the basic constitution of prayer. So at its most simplest and basic form, what does it mean to pray? So prayer is, in a certain sense, like our sentences in English. Well, I guess really in any language, but so it's like our sentences, if we want to use that, in that you have a subject, you have an action, and then you have an object. Now, granted, not all of our sentences are going to be arranged like that, but it's a helpful way of connecting it. So when we talk about the subject for prayer, we're thinking about the person praying. And when we talk about the action, well, that is quite simply communication with the object of our prayers, right? And the object of our prayers, which we see in our text, is the Lord. Now, I want you to notice again, going back to Genesis 4:26, that this portion clearly lays out like those three simple aspects of prayer. Men call on the Lord. Now, Martin Luther, in his small catechism, he put it this way. He said, prayer is speaking to God in words and thoughts. It's really quite simple. And so I think in some respects, because it's so simple, we have this tendency to overcomplicate it. I do that quite a lot. I overcomplicate a lot of things. But that's really, in a nutshell, all that prayer is. It is talking to God. But we don't want to just stop there, because while that is what we are doing, we need to remember who we are and who God is. So first, we need to remember that we are created finite beings. We bear God's image, but we are still creatures. We are still created beings. We don't become gods. We are still creatures. And God is our creator. And God being our creator means that he is the only self-existent being. Logically, he can only be the only... Logically, he can't be anything else. And there can't be any other self-existent beings. Now, this is important because what this means is he has no need of our prayers. In Greek and Roman mythology, the gods were dependent upon the prayers of their people. And so their strength grew or diminished based upon people praying. We've actually seen some pagan notions like that in modern times. I'm forgetting the name of the movie. It's a Christmas movie. Anyway.
Santa depends on.
Yes.
How many people believe in him.
Right, right. And so in this particular scene, huh?
Was it a more recent movie?
I don't remember. All I know is that I've seen it. but in this particular movie, like, in order for Santa's sleigh to fly through the air, it depends upon a certain percentage of people believing that Santa exists. And that is nothing less than a pagan notion of essentially prayer. So when we say that our God is creator, that he is self-existent, what we mean by that is that he does not need any of his creation. He doesn't need our prayers. He doesn't need us individually. He has all that he needs within himself. We, on the other hand, being finite, have many things that we need. Quite simply, we could say food and water. We can also add to that clothing and shelter. Like, there's any number of things that we have to have in order to survive. We might survive for a short amount of time without them, but we can't survive long term without them. Now, what this also means is that we have to be careful in our prayers, because God, as creator, has the right to lay expectations upon us that we would only pray in a manner that is acceptable to him. So, for this, I'm going to read Shorter Catechism, number 98. That says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. We're just going to focus on things agreeable to his will. That is, as far as the bare basics, that is what we have to be mindful of in our prayers, that our prayers are agreeable to God's will. One way in which we see this today, God does not promise us health and wealth. He may provide that, but he doesn't promise that. And the testimony of Christ is that we will actually be hated by the world and that we will suffer. I don't think we should refer to that as a promise for those things. But it's a statement that since the world hated Christ and we are followers of Christ, the world will hate us. So, again, when considering the nature of prayer, the main things that we need to remember, who we are, that we are created beings. We are calling out to God as our creator. We can add to that, we're calling out to him as our covenant God, which is the significance of calling upon the name of the Lord. That is his unique covenantal name in Scripture. And then a couple encouragements for doing that. Being in covenant with God, what that means is that God desires to hear our prayers. So we are called to come boldly before the throne, not with this sort of like wondering, will God hear my prayers, or will he answer? But we have complete assurance that he will hear and he will answer. Doesn't necessarily mean his answer will be yes. Just like our children will ask us a question or ask for things, right? And we don't always tell them yes. Sometimes our answer is no. It is still an answer. And we need to remember that as well.